We've been on a bit of a prosperity journey these last 5 weeks, and today we're wrapping up our series with, you could guess our theme today, forgiveness, right? This is one of the four pillars that helps us really, you know, create that dwelling to let prosperity flow through our beings, through our lives. And so forgiveness stands with the other three pillars, generosity and gratitude and vision. And they are set upon a foundation of faith. That's where we began this journey, on that setting that foundation of faith. So when we notice if things feel a little rocky in our prosperity, in our lives, something doesn't feel like it's quite flowing in our love lives or our work lives or our service or our finances or whatever aspect of life that may be, we can ask ourselves, okay, do I have that foundation of faith laid pretty solid? Do I need to revisit there? Or is one of the pillars a little off kilter? And we can find then where we need to go to do that inner work to shore things up once again and to let the energy flow, right? That's what we're all about, flow. So last week when we talked about generosity, we talked about giving. We talked about that really essential law of prosperity that is, as we give, so we receive. The law of circulation, that things just circulate freely when we participate in those two sides, the free giving and the free receiving, right? But sometimes other things get in the way. See, these pillars kind of interact with each other too. Matthew 5:23, Jesus says, "So when you offer your gift to God at the altar and you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, don't leave your gift there," he says. "Go and resolve the issue." Specifically, he says, leave your gift there at the altar and go and make peace with that person. Then come and offer your gift. And so it is our work to constantly be searching our hearts and our minds and our bodies for the places where there is tension or block or unforgiveness, resentment, grudge, whatever it may be that is standing in our way, conflict, and say, can I go resolve that either with that person directly or maybe within myself or maybe a little bit of both, right? So then we can participate in that free cycle of giving and receiving and let that divine energy flow and to us and through us and from us out into the world to prosper the world as well. So prosperity in sum, I think, could actually be summed up in a word, freedom. If you think about when we talk about prosperity, we really are talking about this, right? The free flow, the receiving and the giving. And it's when we talk about finances, we often talk about financial freedom, right? If we have financial freedom, we would have the ability maybe to create more, to travel more, or to give more, to give to the causes we care about, or to engage our passions more. We might imagine these things that come with a little bit more financial freedom. If we have more freedom in our health and in our wholeness, then we have a sense of that vitality and health and wholeness and so on, right? So prosperity can really be about freeing ourselves, and a real key to freeing ourselves is forgiveness. There's a story of two prisoners of war, and one prisoner says to the other prisoner, "Have you forgiven your captor yet?" And the other one says, "No, never." And the first one says, "Oh, well, they still have you in prison then, don't they?" Our refusal to forgive, our resistance to forgiveness, who does it really imprison but ourselves, right? And who is the captor but our own minds and hearts that are holding us back, that are limiting us, that are maybe tying us to a past that is causing then our present to be compressed in some way or limited in some way, and our potential to be tamped down. Remember last week, the pot lid? So it's that kind of compression that occurs when we've got these places in our lives where we're still holding on to past hurts and so on. And there are good reasons, right, why we have difficulty forgiving. There are good reasons why we might have reluctance to forgive. It really just boils down to two things, though. Either our minds are insisting on being right, or our hearts are hurting. And so if we can begin to sort of unravel that, then we can begin to untie that which binds up our prosperous flow. Let's start with the mind. Our mind tells us what's right and wrong, right? Our mind is a place where we have a sense of morality or ethics. We have a real clear sense of what is right behavior and right speech and what is wrong behavior and wrong speech. We can be just as harsh and critical of ourselves as we can be of other people around this kind of setup that we have of what is right and what is wrong. And so when it comes to then something happening that feels like it's really out of step with what we consider right, or it's really on that wrong side, we might have a really hard time forgiving because our minds have a very clear idea of what is right, and this is clearly wrong. Anybody relate to this at all? Tisk, tisk, right? Have you ever been driving and somebody wags their finger at you, you know? It's almost worse than the bird, I think. It's like I could just sort of like dismiss that, but when I get the finger wag, it really sticks with me. It's like, don't wag your finger at me. I guess I have work to do on that, huh? Luckily, I don't drive much. I just walk to work and pretty easy life around here and all these beautiful trails we have anyway. I could go into gratitude, which, you know, like I said, all these pillars kind of interact with each other. And it's good for us to draw from gratitude really everywhere we go in prosperity, really, because it can be peppered with gratitude and it can help us then boost that experience. And even in forgiveness, we will find gratitude. Gratitude for the relief it brings, for sure. And gratitude for maybe the openness that happens for us in our own hearts and in our own relationships. So let's go back to the mind for a second, because why is it that then we get so stuck in this rigidity, this idea of rightness that keeps us sort of stuck in that space? Is because we might think that person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Right? Or the situation doesn't deserve to be forgiven because it's so off the mark, because it had such a devastating impact for perhaps, or a hurt for ourselves or for the people that we see around. But here's what's essential for us to understand, that accountability and forgiveness are not mutually exclusive. They can be sussed out, right? So holding somebody accountable is one thing, and forgiving them is another. And by forgiving, we don't necessarily erase accountability. So if we just do our forgiveness work and we trust that whatever the powers that be will hold that experience, that individual, that situation to accountability, most notably that individual, right? Because it's that individual's consciousness that they have to deal with, right? So the laws of the universe, karma, if you will take care of things ultimately, even when courts of law do not. So it's not really our job. When we get really fixated in this kind of rightness in our minds, we start to think it's our job to police the universe, right? And that fixation, it can be just draining of our energy and stopping of our prosperity, right? And all that is good. When we're fixated in that kind of idea of being right, we forget that really we've come just to be happy. But as children, we remember that. Have you ever watched small children have a little bit of a disagreement of some kind? Like, say they're playing in the sandbox and one kid throws sand at the other kid and the other kid's wailing and crying, and then a few minutes later you look over and they're playing together again. Lo and behold, why? Because for them, the opportunity to play, to have fun, to be happy is far more important than to be right. It's later, as our egos develop, that we get fixated on this idea of being right. And this is why Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it is that openness, that desire, that willingness to say, I'd rather be happy than be right, that begins to free our minds, begins to untie the binds of the mind, and let ourselves begin to even entertain from an intellectual standpoint that maybe forgiveness would help. Maybe forgiveness would be the road for us in whatever situation we may be facing. The second part of the mind that sort of trips us up with forgiveness is that we think that forgiveness is for the other person, but forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness is for us because that's where the stuck energy is, right? Long after some hurt has occurred, whether or not that person has moved on with their life or whatever has happened, it's us that is, you know, that needs the release. And so it is us who can turn that around. It's us that can restore our relationships. It's us that can free our minds and our hearts and our prosperities so that good can come to us again. So basically, there's three things for us to remember to free our minds to forgive. To choose happiness over being right is far more satisfying. To remember that forgiveness does not erase accountability, and that forgiving others releases and prospers us. And as for addressing our heart's reluctance, well, that's a little stickier area, isn't it? It's not so clean and clear like the mind. Because often in the heart, there is hurt, and maybe long ago hurt, right? Maybe big hurts, big things that have happened to us, that over the years we might chip away at forgiveness. Forgiveness can be a process. Forgiveness might require patience. It might require persistence. But we can do it, and as we do, we reap the rewards of everything that comes with it. Sometimes, when we do this inner work, it does release others as well. Stephanie Cassatley tells her story in the ForgivenessProject.com, which I highly recommend if you want to read some inspirational, authentic forgiveness stories. Stephanie was a college student when her mother worked as a cashier in a grocery store and was shot during a robbery and died. It was in New Orleans in 1980. Her killer was named Nathan Wolf, and he was sentenced to life without parole at the Angola State Penitentiary. Stephanie said, I never even considered forgiving my mother's killer. She said that was like an extreme example of the kind of forgiveness you see on Oprah. She said, that was not me. But then one day, she heard this head of the prison ministry speak about how impactful it is for people to forgive those who are imprisoned, how much it can free those prisoners. And she began to wonder, would it ever be possible? Could I ever forgive the man that irrevocably changed the course of my life? Not long after that, by chance, she came across the phone number of the chaplain who worked at the Angola State Penitentiary, and she decided to dial the number. Father D answered, how can I help you? And she said, I'm trying to find a way to forgive the man who killed my mother, and I also want to know if he feels any remorse. Father D said, what difference does it make if he feels remorse? She thought. Well, that kind of made sense to her. She said, of course it would make it easier for me if he felt remorse, but is it required for me to continue on this journey? No. So Father D offered to deliver a message directly to Nathan. And Stephanie was surprised that with great clarity, right into her mind, jumped exactly what she wanted to say. Please tell him the daughter of the woman he killed in 1980 forgives him and would like to know what he'd like to say in return. Then she got off the phone and she started to panic and feel desperate. What if he comes? What if he gets released and comes after my family? What if I'm not really ready to forgive. And I just said I was. You know, in all the things we do, right, to second guess ourselves when we have taken that big leap of faith, when we have opened our hearts and let some of that energy through that says, yes, go. And that divine idea comes through us and we say exactly what we need to say. And that all feels good in the moment. And then we go, uh-oh. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, so we're sitting there waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? So if we can just be gentle with ourselves in that important space and that important pause between the brave move to say, I forgive, and then the waiting period to know, do I really? Am I really? What are the consequences of me jumping in, of stepping forth, of letting go finally? So about a week passed before Father D and Stephanie reconnected, and he told her, after 20 years, you could imagine, Nathan felt speechless. He was speechless at first when I delivered your message. He said, you need to know this too. Nathan is dying. He said he wants you to know that he's very, very grateful for your forgiveness. And he asked me to tell you how deeply sorry he is for what he did. He said he could never make an excuse for what he did, but it was a really bad time in his life. He never meant to hurt anyone, and he was completely tripped out on drugs. He said he wanted to convey his deepest regrets to your family for the loss and the pain and the hurt he's caused. So Stephanie said she was sitting at her desk when she received this news, and the tears just started to come in a way that they hadn't been there in 20 years. That all this release began to flow, and it was a mix of sadness and gratitude and relief and closure all at once. She said, then it was as if a window had opened and a cold breeze came in, and she said, I felt my mother's presence for the first time since she had died 20 years ago. She said, as sure as I could be, she was sitting next to me and wrapping her arms around me. And she said that weeks later, she received a letter from the Angola State Penitentiary, and it said, notice of release. This office is required to notify you of Nathan Wolf's release. He expired on December 23rd. She held that letter close to her chest, and she was thinking about the word release, almost repeating it like a mantra over and over to herself. We'd both been set free, she thought to herself. So many years of grieving my mother, who would have ever guessed I would grieve her killer for the life he didn't get to lead, for the bad choices he made, for the love he maybe never even felt. Forgiveness is release. Forgiveness releases us to our highest and best good. Forgiveness releases the captors and the captives in our lives, but especially in our minds and our hearts and in our bodies and our whole beings. The things we have pushed away or we have tied up, bound together, tried to hide. And we know that as we go knocking on those doors, some of that stuff's going to rise up again. And that's what causes our reluctance and our resistance. And yet, if we can remember to be brave, we can move through that place and release it like a dove into the air. That thing that has been bogging us down, that thing that has been keeping us from the fullness of our prosperity, our intended divine flow. So is there anything for you that's blocking your heart's love, that's keeping you from the fullness of your happiness? I want to give you a moment just now, if you wish to close your eyes and just drop into your heart and ask that question, is there anything to forgive? And maybe an image or some words or feeling will arise. Is there anyone to forgive? The simple words spoken from the heart can be a healing balm of freedom. I forgive you. I forgive you. Imagine, if you will, now, as if your hands are turned and that thing that is released is now like a dove released into the air. Your heart now open and freed. Forgiveness can be that simple. And maybe nothing happens for you in this moment, but that kind of inner work and reflection can sometimes be that simple. And sometimes it's just the beginning of a process, just the beginning of a road that you're taking one brave step onto today. Now, maybe nothing came to you, or nothing is feeling like it's really up in your life right now, yet there are always, right? We have a whole history of living on this planet, so there is always something. One practice I like to do is at the end of my day to reflect and say, is there anyone I left out of my heart today? I'm often so surprised at the things that come up. Little things, you know, little slights, maybe a passing thought or judgment I had, or subtle action or a word I wish I could undo. And so in those moments, we can just simply forgive ourselves, right? I forgive you. I release you. I release myself. I allow myself room to breathe, bringing in a little bit of that generosity, right? A generosity to ourselves. I will do better tomorrow. And so it's allowing ourselves that allows us to sleep better. It allows us to live better. It allows us to feel better. There's also a practice you can do where if there's some kind of pain or hurt of something somebody else has done, write that out. You know, write it out. Give yourself permission to write it out with all the details that you want, all the drama that you want, right? Just get it out exactly as you want to say it, if you just can purge. And that is really what you're doing, is purging. And then after you've written all that out, I invite you to put on the character of Sergeant Friday from Dragnet. Remember that old TV show? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So on the other side of your paper, you write the story with just the facts. Like a video camera could record it, just the facts. Do you find yourself slipping back into the drama and the interpretation? You got to cross that out. And usually this exercise alone will produce something like, oh, or because we suddenly recognize that so much of the upset is in our interpretation. And so if we can extract out the interpretation and just look at the facts, then we have something to work with to move forward in the next step and the next step. Simple practices such as these free us in every way for the prosperity to flow once again. Forgiveness is on the list, high on the list, I think, of every religious tradition for a reason. Because it is so potent, because it is so freeing, because it is so healing, because it is such an extension of love, a companion of compassion. And so when we forgive, we give for. We give for ourselves, we give for others, we give for the world. Out of the Hindu tradition, the Bhagavad Gita says, if you want to see the brave, look to those who can return love for hatred. If you want to see the heroic, look to those who can forgive. If your heart hurts too much right now to forgive in this very moment, be gentle, be patient with yourself, have self-compassion. Just take a step in the process, and then another, and then another. If your mind is trying to justify the need to be right or to exact punishment or revenge in some way, instead make an experiment of forgiveness. The mind loves an experiment. And in that experiment, take that 18-inch journey from the head to the heart. Just let your energy drop down to the heart, your awareness and your consciousness now in the heart. And in that place, if you are willing, give over to divine love. Let divine love be in charge, even if it's just for a moment. It's surprising how quickly forgiveness will arise, the impulse to forgive, when we let divine love be in charge. And happiness is certain to eclipse righteousness when we dwell in this place. So as we close out this series, let's remember to keep strengthening our foundation of faith. Keep looking at our pillars and making sure things are aligned with the divine vision and gratitude, generosity, and forgiveness. Let's release the tension of our minds and our hearts by forgiving and letting the goodness flow. I invite you to say this with me as we are richly prospered. Together, I release the tension of my mind and heart by forgiving. I am richly prospered, and so it is. Mm-hmm.